in the name of Jesus. The name put upon him at his baptism was Son of God, Suffering Servant. And with that name at his baptism, what was his to do? The voice from heaven spoke words from Psalm 2 and Isaiah 42. Son of God was used of the people of Israel and of the people of Israel as gathered up in their king. The Davidic title, Son of God, is put upon him at his baptism, which is as his anointing to kingship. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Beloved and with whom I am well pleased are what was said in Isaiah of that Son of God, that servant of God, the Ebed Yahweh, both son and servant. And as we heard again at his transfiguration with Moses and Elijah speaking of the death that he would accomplish. Of him we are told that he will make himself a sacrifice for sin. He will make many to be accounted righteous, for he will bear their iniquities. Such is the Son, servant of God, the King who stands for his people, the Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The next thing that Matthew tells us is then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And the last words from the mouth of God to him, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." Upon these words, the tempter casts doubt. If you are the Son of God. As at the first temptation, which involved us all, did God say, "You shall not eat of any tree of the garden"? Doesn't he want you to have food? Doesn't he want you to have what's good for you? Doesn't he love you? So take it. Eve did. And with her sin, her taking, her unbelief, she brought all her children into bondage, from which, try as they may, they never can get free, and all their ways of trying to bring them deeper into the opposite of freedom, however many styles of fig leaves they may try. At his temptation, when everything of what's with us hangs on him, Jesus did not sin. The words of God come first. And are sure, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. His victory is not with some zap pow blast, but in the strength of the words of the Lord, the same as have been given to you too. Jesus was tempted to slip away from the words of God, away from the way of the cross, into the bondage and slaveries of power, for him to grasp power as the way of his being servant, son, king, would make the bad news that is indeed the way everything goes, even God too. Those who go for a big power God, that's the God they get. The ways of power are coercion and necessity. Jesus was come to set us free. No whip, no rope, no slaves. Necessity and coercion are not the ways that God wants to deal with us. They are not his saving way with us in Jesus. Dostoevsky, you may recall, has the grand inquisitor say to Jesus, "Thou didst not know that when man rejects miracles, he rejects God too." There are many people we know who reject miracles, and rejecting miracles, they reject God too. We ourselves fall into the same bondage if, in response to this, the first thing we do is to try to prove some miracles. as if then we would have proven God. The only God we might then have proved would be a God who does miracles. There are loads and loads of God like that around. There's only one of the Calvary kind. The Grand Inquisitor continues, man seeks not so much God as the miraculous. And as man cannot bear to be without the miraculous, he will create new miracles of his own for himself. Thou didst not come down from the cross, when they shouted to thee, mocking and reviling thee, come down from the cross, and we will believe that thou art he. At his temptation, Jesus turned away from miracles as the way for him to go. And when he healed in response to pleaded need, he so often told them not to tell anyone about it. Those who come to him because of miracles might better stay at home with the gods they already have, gods who are kept as gods only as long as they produce the desired, felt need, miracles. And if you go to church and the God who is being promoted there is the miracle worker one, what hope is there there? At Calvary, Satan says the same thing, as also earlier through Peter. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. At the consummation of his saving work for us and at its beginning, Jesus does not come down from the cross, for he is the Son, servant of God. At his baptism, he is already put to that, and at his temptation, he holds himself toward the cross. Can a man be as free as that? Jesus is, and on him the Father's pleasure. Him Jesus will not misrepresent or deny by making him into a god in the manner of natural religion, a power god who is there for doing miracles for us, a slave owner god with slaves overawed by his might, Dostoevsky. Religion comes in the next temptation, what Dostoevsky calls mystery. And what could be more religious than the temple and its pinnacle? Now, the devil knows how to behave himself in church. A telling word of scripture would be just the thing that's called for. He has one, but snipped about a bit to fit his purpose. No captive is more delicious to his taste than one he captures by using the words and the name of God. Verbal inspiration is not his primary problem. The devil can cite scripture for his purpose, says Shakespeare, and every heretic, says Tertullian. If you are the Son of God, then show me how much you can trust him. Throw yourself down, for it is written, he will give his angels charge of you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You can trust his promises, can't you? Satan certainly sometimes sounds like a reasonably good Lutheran, doesn't he? Jesus sees it straight because he says God's words straight. There mayn't be any tempting of God, whistling him up for a miracle, or all those more subtle ways in which we try to get in on God's power and pull it to our program and purpose, or even very good purposes perhaps, but yet with us getting control of God, or some control, binding him, which is the native meaning of the word religion. Dirty word. Jesus, who refused to do a spectacular in the temple, could not thus be taken captive there. A few years ago, it was quite the thing to say, you won't find Jesus here in church. He's out there in the world doing what people need to have done for them there. That's the real Jesus. Satan seems to follow something of the same line of thought. The devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them and said to them, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. You can be king of the lot, Jesus. All the power that's mine, I'll put at your disposal. The two of us together can hardly fail, if you'll only do things a bit more my way. Some years ago, there was a sociologist who said to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, you've got all that good Bible stuff, and now if you'll just make a few adjustments, not very big ones, don't let the Lord's Supper get in the way of your speedy growing the church with selected people, just a few adjustments, and then you too can strike it big. The time when the church exercised great power in the world, some call the Age of Faith. Try that out on Jesus of the Third Temptation, the Jesus who moves steadily to Calvary. Satan's sort of king is not the one who hangs on the cross, the one who holds to his, at his temptation, to his way to the cross. Along that way we follow again with him this Lent, deeply rejoicing in what he does for us, what is only his to do, all his doing that counts for us, by which we come to be forgiven and righteous. For one, by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. His, not mine. Such a Savior. Who could have dreamt it? Only God, who doesn't have to prove he's God, does it. So hidden, so human, so weak, so hungry, so declining to make it big, in the church or in the world. His the way of the cross. That's the way he does it. One expectation of Messiah would be that he would be inviolate. Nothing could hurt him, not even a fall from the pinnacle of the temple. Now there's a sensible sort of Christ, and Satan rides along on our natural way of projecting God and getting maximum mileage with our religion. No wonder they had no use for a man who got himself crucified. Never such a way of being a king before, of being God's son, suffering servant, of being Christ, of being Savior, of being Jesus for you, even to his body broken and his blood shed for you. Amen.